This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We do thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. And I'd like to begin the broadcast out with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio, Lord. Thank you for each and every listener that's joined us today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and help them, Lord, for Jesus' sake. God, I do come before you, I do pray for the children's homes, the mission work, Lord, all the work, Lord, that you put in our hearts to do. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to have your will and your way. Lord God, lead us and guide us. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. We'd like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria. I want to ask you to continue to pray for our missionaries in those regions. We greatly appreciate them. Seems like that some's been going through a lot of trials and things, but the Lord is really blessing, and I appreciate that, and especially right now in Romania, as well as some of the work in the Ukraine and Bulgaria. And the Lord is just doing great things. We appreciate all that he's doing. I do want to ask you to pray for the missionaries, especially those that are involved in the translation of the Bible. Seems like that the Lord has just worked out everything that needs to be done. We really appreciate it. I'm so thankful for how that he's done things. It seemed like I'd get things on my heart and maybe talk to the missionaries. They have things on their heart concerning that work. And we think, well, how are we going to do this and how's the best way? And we find out that the Lord's already doing it. So the Lord's just good. I appreciate him. And ask you once again just to pray for these missionaries as they try to follow the Lord the best they can. Pray for the church. We're so thankful for the church. I was trying to preach on the church a little while this morning, how that God gave them a church in the wilderness. He gave them a church in Jerusalem, or gave them a temple, you might say. But I'm glad for the local church, the assembly that we have, and I'm glad for a place that we can come and the Lord meets with us. And that's the whole thing that we need, is just the Lord meeting with us. And so you pray for these folks over there, and we'll greatly appreciate it. We'd like to ask you this week if you'd write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, it's good to be here this evening. We're always in church, and we're blessed to be in the Lord's house, but it just seems like that some places the Lord's a little bit closer. And so it's good to be here. I appreciate the Lord, and it's good to see everybody here tonight. And I don't know what y'all did while I've been gone in Bulgaria, but when I left, things were cheaper, and when I come back, everything here is expensive. I mean, I thought I left it in good hands, but I don't know what happened here. But it's good to be here. There were some people a few years ago in Bulgaria, and inflation is a part of life. It's not a phase that we go through. It's just a part of life. Things always get more expensive. A few years ago, especially in Bulgaria, there were some people that were complaining about the price of bread. And back then, I don't know what it was in their money. It was a nickel, a dime, a quarter, whatever it was, and they were complaining because it was getting so expensive. They said it's going to be, you know, like a dollar for a loaf of bread. And Brother Ralph said, I hope it gets to be $10 a loaf of bread. And they said, Brother Ralph, why would you talk like that? He said, so you would learn that God's the one that feeds us. It doesn't matter what the price is. God can pay for it, $1, $10, everything we have comes from him. And so he can take care of it all. But we just want to, the hard part is being happy and being thankful in the meantime. But we appreciate the Lord, and it is good to be here this evening. Everybody overseas sends their love and their greetings to you, and they're praying for you, and they thank you. Especially the people, thank you for the flour and the oil. That was a blessing. And everybody's doing good and fighting battles, so they need your prayers. And the enemy tries to get in and tear things up and tries to ruin things and comes to steal and kill and to destroy. And so we need to pray for one another. And so we'd appreciate y'all's prayers, praying for the missionaries and for the national pastors and for the work. And the Lord's good. The Lord's helping us. The Lord doesn't protect us from the battle all the time. He protects us in the battle. And we appreciate it. When he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he didn't take them straight into the battle. He took them through the wilderness. He took them the long way around because he said, if they see a battle too soon, they'll faint. But he said, I'll be with them and I'll protect them. But when they had gone 40 years, they finally went into the promised land. And then God said, okay, now it's time to fight. And the Lord knows what kind of battles we're in. And if we find ourselves in a battle, it's not a coincidence. The Lord knows when we're ready to be in whatever battle that we're in. And so we're just thankful to be with Him. The biggest thing that we've had in Bulgaria recently, and I'll just talk for a minute and maybe try to preach, but here, I guess it was last summer that I went and I found, we were talking about getting this Turkish Bible. It's translated, but Brother Ralph always said it needs to be proofread by some Turks. We need a Turk to proofread it. He proofread it 1,000 times. I proofread it, but he said we need a Turk to do it. And he never would go to Turkey. He never would do that. He was always just not exactly ready. And so I've been going to Turkey, a couple times a year. For years I've been going. And I met a couple people down there, and I asked people, could you help with this? Could you help proofread it? Could you help? And they're just so nice. They say, yes, we'd like to. Oh, I'd like to do that. Do you know of anybody else that could help me? I know some people, they could help you. And they're so nice, they promise everything, and then they don't do anything. But they're nice about it. So I said, Lord, I need more than nice. I need more than a promise. I need to get something done. I need to find somebody that's going to do this. And so I went again last summer. I went down there by myself. And I went down there and I took a day and I went to the Isle of Patmos, which is right off the Turkish coast. I said, I've always wanted to go to the Isle of Patmos. And so I found a boat that was going there, and I went to the Isle of Patmos. And there was nothing there. I don't know what I was expecting to see, but there was nothing there. John was on the Isle of Patmos when he got the revelation. But when I got back, my brother said, I told him I'd been to Patmos. He said, have you had a revelation? And I said, yes, the Lord left a long time ago. But I went down there and spent a couple days, and then I went and visited this Turkish preacher that I know and that we're friends with. While I was there, there was another American that came by to see him, and I told him a little bit about the Bible, and he said, I know somebody that likes the King James Bible. Why don't you talk to him? So I said, okay, if you know somebody likes the King James Bible. So I talked to him, and he said, well, come on up here and see me. And so I happened to drive. He was actually on my way home. I drove up there and I sat there in his office space. And he said, we've got your Turkish New Testament that we got years ago. Brother Ralph had given him a copy. And he said, I can't do anything with it down here in Turkey. I can't pass it out on the street because you get in trouble down there. You get arrested or you get beat up, one of the two. He said, I can't pass it out on the street. But he said, I thought, well, if I can put it on the internet, everybody's got a telephone, and I can just show people on telephone. This is what the Bible says, and then nobody thinks anything about it. So he said, we put the Bible on the internet so you can read it. He said, and I thought, well, we need to get it recorded. We need an audio recording of it. And so he said, we've got the Gospel of John done, and he opened it up and played it for me, and I just sat there in unbelief that this professional, they went to a radio station, a professional recorder, professional everything, high quality, and this man is reading the book of John just as clear and perfect as can be. And I said, I've been praying about this for 2 years, and here it's done. And I had no idea. I've been trying to get it done, and it's already done. I've been coming down here. I've been praying. I've been getting frustrated because nobody's doing it. And here somebody's already done it. And so that was something else. And then I said, well, I've got the Old Testament here because I've been working on that. I said, I'm looking for somebody to proofread the Old Testament. And I put that Old Testament there on his desk. And he started crying. And he said, I've been praying for 2 years for this Old Testament. And so we just both sat there across the table from one another and just said, man, I mean, God does it. And God hears prayers and God does things. And God answers every prayer, even though we don't see it. So we talked to him, and he had, they started out recording the New Testament, you know, radio guy reading it. But they said, we need a proofreader. So they had a proofreader to read the whole New Testament. And they did it, and they made a few changes. They showed it to me, and I saw, okay, a couple of these changes are right, a couple of them are wrong, we need to go back. But that New Testament's already done. And I said, I need a proofreader for the Old Testament. So we had to go to Ankara to meet him. That's the capital city. So me and Verity went down there, and we went to the capital city. And we met this proofreader at the radio station, and just happened to be the exact person for the job. Saved, working for a Christian radio station, one of the only Christian radio stations in all of Turkey. And the owner of the radio station is in Turkish parliament, the only Christian in Turkish parliament. All of them are Muslims. But she's been saved. She was raised in a Christian home. She reads the Bible. She got Brother Ralph's translation, and she read it. And she said, I've read the Bible my whole life, but I've never enjoyed it as much as I have reading your translation. And she said, this has been the best year of my Christian life, just from reading your Bible. And I said, well, praise God, this translation has got something on it. It's got the right spirit on it. And she was just thrilled. And she said, I've read other translations, and even in English. She speaks Turkish and English. Even in English, she said, I've used other translations. But she said, I'll never read another one of them again. And so this is what, I mean, this is the type of thing that Brother Ralph always said. Where am I going to get a translator? Where am I going to get a Turk that's saved, because they're few and far between, saved, knows good Turkish and knows good English, and believes the King James Bible? Where am I going to find someone like that? Well, the Lord found someone like that. And so we talked to them, and they're going to proofread the Old Testament. And had a really good meeting. I mean, you could just tell the Lord had put everything together. And they were excited. They said, this is our favorite project that we work on, is this Bible. And so we talked to them, and they said, well, we're going to have to make an official contract that this is what the work is. This is exactly what the work is. This is how much it cost, and this is the due date on it and everything. And so I said, okay. And a couple weeks ago, they said, okay, here's the contract, and this is how much money we need to start. And I said, okay, and we had trouble, you know, getting the money from here to over there. And anyway, I was finally able to give them the down payment, and I got an email back. I said, I sent you the money, and I got an email back and said, oh, thank you, we received the money. We got the book of Genesis done already. So... So they're not waiting to get the money. They're doing it because the Lord put it on their hearts to do it. And it's not just a business deal. And so we're just thankful for everything that the Lord is doing. And they are going to continue. They have the entire New Testament read in audio form. And they're going to put it up one book at a time on their website and on YouTube, because they make a video and they put the text on the screen, and they have the audio coming out. And so they're doing everything just professionally. And And the Lord's doing great things.
Amen.
And He's doing better things than we expected. And I'm just thankful for all that He's done. And however long it takes, however it happens, it's in the Lord's hands and He's doing good. And we'll just trust Him. So we're thankful for the work there with the Bible, with the Turkish Bible, and what the Lord's going to do with it. And thankful to be here this evening. Let's read from Psalm number 110. And we'll read the whole psalm, and then maybe I'll just talk for a minute from verse 1. Psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. I read this. This is one of the most important psalms. This is quoted in the New Testament many times. And I just want to look at the first verse. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The verse here says it's got two lords. The Lord said unto my Lord. The first Lord is L-O-R-D, capital. Every letter is capitalized. And that is how that they show that is the Lord God. That is Jehovah. That is the Lord. That is God the Father. And then he says, The Lord said unto my Lord. Now that Lord is capital L, then small O-R-D. And that is the same Lord that is more of a general term that is used for a boss, a wealthy man. And that is the Lord that is over. He's the overseer. He's the one in charge. He's the one in authority. And so that's the name that they use for Jesus. They said, He's the Lord. He's the one in authority. He's the one that's in charge. He's the Lord. And David says here that the Lord said unto my Lord. Now, David said he heard something and he said, He's talking to my Lord. Now he's talking about God the Father, he's talking to God the Son. And David said, The Son is my Lord. The Father is the Lord. He's the Lord over everything. But the Son is my Lord. This is my Lord. This is a difference. Anybody can say that God is the Lord. Anybody can say that God is the Creator, that God is over all, but the believer can say, He's my Lord. He's not just the Lord of the universe. He's not just the Lord of the cosmos. He's my Lord. He's my personal Lord. He's in charge of me. I submit myself unto Him. I'm His servant. He's my Lord. And I'm a willing servant. I'm not a servant just that's been purchased against my will. I'm a willing servant. He paid the price for me. I'm His servant. And He said in the Old Testament that when He gives a law of servants, He said if a man is bought as a servant, and he's going to work for 7 years and then he's going to be set free. But he said, if that servant decides, I love my master. I don't want to go out free. He said in the law, well, what you do then is you take him and you put his ear up next to a post and you drive a hole through his ear just to let him know this man is a servant. He's not going to go out anymore. He's going to stay in the same place of service because he loves his master. He doesn't want his freedom. He wants his master. And that's the type of servants that Jesus has. He paid the price for us. We had no hope. We were sinners on the auction block of sin. Nobody else wanted us. We were getting ready to be thrown away. But Jesus said, I'll pay the price for him. And I'll do whatever it takes because I want him. I want him to be mine. And he paid the price. And the price that he paid was with his own blood. It wasn't silver or gold that paid for our redemption. He shed his blood for us. He paid the price for us. And we're his servants, and we're willing servants. And I say, I love my master. I'm not seeking freedom from God.
I'm not seeking freedom from the Lord's house. I want to stay with the Lord. I want to stay with this master, because what I found in this master's house is better than anything out there. I don't want freedom out there. I want to stay right here in the master's house. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now it's interesting here, David, he hears something. The Lord said unto my Lord. He hears God the Father talking to the Son. I mean, God is talking. The Father's talking to Jesus. But David got to hear it. David must have spent some time in the house of God. Or maybe David was out in a cave somewhere. Or maybe there was a time when David was running from his enemies. Maybe there's a time when David was starving. Maybe there's a time when David was running for his life. Maybe there's a time when David thought, man, is there no peace for me at all? Is there nothing? Is there no comfort in this life? Am I always going to be on the run? And David was out there somewhere, and he found a spot to be alone, and he got with God, and he heard God the Father talking to God the Son.
Amen.
Boy, what a good prayer that must have been. To hear the Father talking to the Son. And David just sitting there and hearing it. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now what did the Father say to Jesus? Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Amen.
David, he's the one with all the enemies. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's a man after God's own heart. And he's got more enemies than anybody else in the Bible. And I'm thinking that if you love the Lord, and if you're going with God, and that if you're close to God, you're going to have more enemies than anybody else. Because the devil doesn't like that. The devil, he'll just be on you all the time. Praise God for the time when you're out of the storm. But like the old preacher said, you're either in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm, or you're heading into a storm. But that's all right if you can hear the Father talking. You can hear what the Father has to say.
Amen.
Now Jesus, he had some enemies. Jesus had enemies that hated him. He said, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus had enemies. God has enemies. I can't understand that. I can't understand how somebody could choose to be the enemy of God. How could you possibly think that you're going to win being the enemy of God? But Jesus had enemies. And there were people there in the New Testament, there were people that said, we will not have this man to reign over us. There were people that said, he's not our king. We have no king but Caesar. Those people said, we would rather have a Gentile in Rome be our king, put these laws upon us, take taxes from us, make our lives miserable. We would rather have him than have this man. We don't want Jesus. And the Lord told a story about the man, the nobleman who went into a far country to get a kingship, and he came back, and the citizens of that country said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Jesus has enemies. He has people that say, no, I'd rather be with the devil. I'd rather be in the world. I'd rather be miserable. I'd rather be in hell. I'd rather suffer, but I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. There's people out there that they don't come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Jesus has enemies. He had enemies back then. They delivered him up to be crucified because they were jealous. For envy they had delivered up Jesus. They didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah. They didn't want Jesus to be a rabbi. They didn't want Jesus to do anything. They just said, get rid of him. And the judge and Pontius Pilate said, why? What evil? Tell me one bad thing he's ever done. And they couldn't give an answer. They just said, we don't want him. Crucify him. We'd rather see this man dead. Turn loose this Barabbas, this man who's a thief and a murderer and who in sedition has committed murder trying to overthrow the government. We would rather have a rebel and a murderer than to have Jesus, the Lamb of God. He had enemies. I can't believe that. There's people in the world today and they are enemies of God. And it's not because they're ignorant. It's not because they don't know what they're doing. It's because they've made up their minds. They're going with the devil, and they are going right in the face of God and don't want to have anything to do with God. They don't want God in their knowledge. They want to kill God. They want to put God out of everywhere. And if Jesus were to come back again, they'd crucify him again as soon as they could. And there's enemies in this world. And there's enemies that they can't get to God. They can't get to Jesus. So what do? They come after the churches. They come after the believers. And they make life hard. And they make things more and more difficult on us. And anymore, it just feels like you're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you look for a place, where can I get out of this mess? And about the only thing I know is to come to the house of God. Be in the house of God where that you have a little bit of relief from the junk that's in this world. Because this world is the enemy of God. But I did read in the book of Romans that Paul said, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. We used to be enemies, but now we're reconciled.
Amen.
We used to be enemies of God, but Jesus reconciled us.
Amen.
Jesus came and He said, I'll take care of it. Just come unto me. Come unto me. I'll take care of it. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm glad I went from an enemy to being a friend. I'm glad I'm on the winning side now. I used to be a loser. I used to be on the losing side. I used to have no hope at all. But praise God, I'm on the winning side now. I'm not the enemy of God anymore. I'm on the right side. I'm with Jesus now. I'm on His side. I'm one of His sheep, and He's my Lord. He's my shepherd. But the Lord says to the Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Father says, I'm going to take care of all your enemies. I'm going to make them your footstool. I was tempted to look this word up in the original Greek and Hebrew to see what does footstool mean. But it's pretty easy, isn't it? It's a stool you put your foot on. When you sit down, now we got these recliners, you just, pull that bar out and that thing comes up. A footstool. And the Lord says, Jesus, you just sit down here. All your enemies that are raging right now, all those that hate you, all those that want to kill you, you just sit still and I'm going to bring them to you and you're going to put your feet right on their heads.
Amen.
I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. They are going to be brought into complete subjection. Today they might be in rebellion. Today they might be conspiring together to try to overthrow God and try to overthrow God's rule. But one day they're going to be made completely subject to your law. You're going to be the king. You're going to be seated upon a throne and they're going to be under your feet. God the Father is going to do this for Jesus. Boy, that's a good day. I wish that day would come. I wish that day would come very soon because I hate these enemies. I'm against all those that are against God and all those that are against Christ. I'm ready for God to come back and to straighten things out and to stomp out all this rebellion and all this ungodliness and all this devilishness out of this world. I wish God would come back right now and I mean set up His kingdom where that Jesus is the King. Nobody else. There's no protest in Jesus' kingdom.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.